Now I want you to turn in your Bible today to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 14. I have but one verse for my text today, and that is verse 8 of 1 Corinthians, chapter 14. While you are finding your place in the Word of God, may I admonish you once again to be faithful to Christ. The Sunday evening worship service will be a great time for you again, not only to honor Mother, but to honor God. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 8. We shall read it after we pause in a moment of prayer. Our Father, we are thankful today again for redeeming grace. We are thankful for the old-time religion. We are thankful for something that moves our hearts in the midst of a world of darkness and discord and war and strife and famine. We thank Thee that we have a safe hiding place and a steadfast anchor in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grant, O God, that we might sound with clarity and with unmistakable emphasis the trumpet of the truth in these moments of worship together. In Jesus' name we ask it, and for His sake, amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 8. For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? If the trumpet give an uncertain, undefinable, unclear sound, who will prepare himself for the battle? Now, there are three words that you ought to notice. One of them is the word battle. We are engaged in a battle. The other word is bugle, which is the same word in the Greek for trumpet. There is a bugle to sound today. And the third word is bugler, the one who blows the bugle. Now, we are living without a doubt in what could be described as the most chaotic and confused day in the history of mankind. You heard about the man that had a big button on his lapel, just had one letter on it, the letter K. And someone asked him, "Why do you wear this button with the letter K?" And he said, "Well, I just want to admit that I'm confused." And the fellow said, But you don't spell confused with a K. He said, "You just don't know how confused I am." I venture to say today that the world does not know how confused it is. The reason that we are so confused is because we've been listening to trumpets with uncertain sound. There is the uncertain sound of education. Some of us can remember when it used to be the basic three R's, reading and writing and arithmetic. But since the days of Thomas Dewey and the progressive education that has been brought into our great educational system, we have been going down, down, down. Now, I appreciate scholarship. I only wish I had some more. But, beloved, we are living in an hour when scholarship does not have the answer to the confused, chaotic mess that we're in. Let us not be confused anymore with that uncertain sound. There is the uncertain sound of politics. Oh, it's going to take a whole lot to straighten our country up. Beloved, I have every compassion for our president. I don't agree with him on everything, and I'm quite certain he doesn't agree with me. But that's his prerogative. That's his privilege. But he is our president. And he is facing the most crisis hour that we have ever faced. Whether you are a Democrat or a Republican or an independent or something else, our country needs the prayers of all of God's people. We have listened too long to the uncertain sound of those who promise us a better tomorrow when they have not solved the problems of today. We have listened to the uncertain sound of the economist. We might think we have a balanced economy and a balanced budget, but it would be frightening to know how near complete economic collapse we are. A man said in Fort Worth the other day, an expert in economy, that if things keep going at the same rate that they are now going in 5 years, your money won't be in any good at all. That's why you ought to invest it in the cause of Christ today. The greatest investment in all the world is the cause of Jesus Christ. Let us not be carried away by the uncertain sound of the economist. Then there is the uncertain sound of the religionist. Did you know that Lenin told the Bolsheviks these words? The most fertile field for the infiltration of Marxism is religion. Because religious people are the most gullible people in all the world. Therefore, they will believe anything as long as it is couched in religious terminology. Lenin, he may have never told the truth before, but he told the truth then. And we have many high-sounding phrases from high-sounding pulpits all over the world today that are uncertain sounds. We have the sound that our world is getting better all the time. My Lord and my God, whoever says that has his head in the sand. Everybody knows about Rip Van Winkle. He went to sleep and slept 20 years right through the American Revolution. When Rip Van Winkle went to sleep, George III was ruling America from England. When he woke up, George Washington was president of the United States. But Rip Van Winkle was shouting for the king. His problem was he was shouting for the wrong George. Beloved, many men who are masquerading as pulpiteers today are shouting for the wrong George. They are making way for the Antichrist and the false and counterfeit millennium. The brotherhood of man, the fatherhood of God, the lie of communism. J. Edgar Hoover said the thing that was at the root. And he ought to know. I confess I don't know. But Hoover said that at the root of all of our upheaval and violence in the street and on the campus are the seeds of communism. We are in a confused hour. A counterfeit millennium is what the devil is after because he counterfeits everything that God has ever done. cannot understand how people can close their eyes to a damnable heresy, such as is being purported on the people of America and around the world from pulpits that are denying the inspiration of the Word of God, that are denying the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, His bodily resurrection, and His literal, physical, visible, bodily return. If you take that out of the book and out of the gospel, you don't have anything left. There are many uncertain sounds. I'm glad my hope is not in any of these. My hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Because we have had so many uncertain sounds, we need to blow the trumpet loud and long for some certain sounds in the midst of the 20th century. And this is my message to you today, certain sounds. I offer to you first the certain sound of God's revelation to all men. I read in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, God who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom he also made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, after that he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, for he by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. The certain sound that God has revealed himself in the person of his Son. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Paul writes in Galatians 4:4, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. God sent his Son. And then Paul writes in 1 Timothy 2:5, there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. When God wanted to show us his power, he sent earthquakes and floods. When God wanted to show us his government, he sent the Ten Commandments. But beloved, when God wanted to show us himself in all of his mercy, in all of his love, in all of his grace, in all of his glory, in all of his beauty, in all of his everlastingness, in all of his patience, in all of his wondrous person, he sent us his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. It is a certain sound that God has revealed himself in the person of his Son. I offer another certain sound. I offer the certain sound of the gospel message for all men. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I declare unto you, brethren, that which I first of all received, the gospel that I have received is this, how that Jesus Christ died according to the scriptures, how that he was buried, and how that he was raised according to the scriptures. What is the gospel? It is God's good news. It is good tidings from the heavenly broadcasting system. Shout it from the housetop. Tell it far and wide. I would to God I had 10,000 tongues and I could reach the world with a message of redeeming grace. For if the highest heavens were my pulpit and all the world were my parish, Jesus alone would be my text. The gospel of redeeming grace. That is the gospel of the certain sound that I present to you today. No wonder Paul wrote to the church at Rome, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the dynamo, the dynamic, the dynamite, the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. The gospel of redeeming grace is a certain sound. Now in these days we have a watered down gospel. You know what something is when it's watered down? It's got too much water in it. If it's supposed to be Coca-Cola and it's got too much water, it's watered down, or Kool-Aid or iced tea or whatever it might be. We've got that kind of insipid gospel today. One part divinely revealed truth and about 10 parts human wisdom. And beloved, any time that any man, anywhere, under any circumstance, adds to or subtracts from the gospel of redeeming grace, the curse of God is on him. For Paul writes in Galatians 1:8, if I or any other man or even an angel from heaven bring to you another gospel, pervert the true gospel, let him be accursed. Let him be accursed who would pervert or pollute or water down the gospel. We have all kinds of preachers nowadays. We have the entertainer. You know, there's some people who think if a preacher gets up and makes everybody laugh for 25 or 30 minutes, he's really done a good job. Baloney. Amen. God didn't call me to entertain the troops. He called me to strike a fire, to get the army of God moving. If you're looking for entertainment, you better go somewhere else. Because if I was in the entertainment field, I'd be on television, or radio, or on the stage. Yeah, I know some of you think I ought to be on the one that left at 8 o'clock this morning. But what I'm saying to you is this, that this business is far greater than to get up and just specialize in making people laugh, and when they go home, they wonder where they've been and why they've been there. Then we have the enlightener, who has to get up and give all of the latest book reviews and all the philosophical systems that have come out in recent days. Most people sit there goggle-eyed and don't know what's going on. Then we have the ear-tickling preacher who loves to tell people what they want to hear. I don't believe in telling people what they want to hear. I believe in telling people what they need to hear. What we need is some straight shooters that'll shoot right from the hip. The gospel, the gun of the gospel of truth, sounding a certain trumpet. We need some more Elijahs who dare stand before the king and rebuke him for his sin. We need some more of the kind of John the Baptist who will dare call a spade, a shovel. We need some men who will tell it like it is to people like they are. We've had too much social gospel, political gospel, philosophical gospel. We need God's gospel. The only thing that is certain, the only thing that is lasting, the only thing that is eternal, the only thing that is God-blessed, is the old, old story of redeeming grace from the old, old book that our mothers read. I sound a certain note, the gospel of Jesus Christ. This can cure the ills of all the world. I sound a certain note, of the things to come that will affect all men. Talking about God's revelation does not affect all men. The gospel message does not affect all men. But all men are affected by the things to come. Dr. Mordecai Ham used to say, "Well, I read the newspapers to see what man is doing. I read the Bible to see what God is going to do." Things to come. We are living surely close to the midnight hour. What are some of those things, preacher, that are coming? I must warn you that death is coming. For Hebrews 9:27 says, "It is appointed unto men once to die." Just as sure as you live, death is coming. Death is no respecter of persons. Go out to the graveyard. There are little graves. There are middle-sized graves. There are big graves. Death is coming. It is appointed unto man once to die. And not only that, beloved, Jesus is coming. Oh joy, oh delight, should we go without dying. No sickness, no sadness, no dread, and no crying. Caught up through the clouds with our Lord in the air when Jesus receives his own. Oh, Lord Jesus, how long? How long you will shout the glad song? Christ returneth, hallelujah. Hallelujah, amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Jesus said in John 14, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." I'm not looking for something to come to this old world. I'm looking for someone to come. I'm not nearly so concerned about what this old world is coming to as I'm concerned about who's coming to this world. I'm not looking for the undertaker. I'm looking for the uptaker. Jesus is coming. Now there's some sounds that we may not understand. We may mistake them. But, beloved, there's one sound that we'll not mistake, and that is the sound of the trumpet. Almost by an ear of faith, I can hear it this morning. It seems that God may say to his son, "'Tis enough. With all of the war, with all of the discord, with all of the heartache and woe and problems and perils in life, with the old world that's in such a mess, son, go on down and bring your own people home. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, at the last bugle, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Jesus is coming. And beloved, judgment is coming. I didn't finish Hebrews 9:27 a while ago, did I? It is appointed unto men once to die. And the next part of that verse says, and after this, the judgment. Every born-again believer will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. The Bema, the judgment seat of Christ. For what? To give an account of his stewardship on this earth. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, for we must all appear before the Bema, the judgment seat of Christ, to receive the things we have done in this body, whether they be good or evil. A lot of Christians are going to have to answer for the way they've treated God's house and God's people and God's gospel and God's money and God's time. You best wake up, Christians. The judgment seat of Christ is awaiting you. Then there's another great judgment. John writes about it in Revelation 20, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat upon it, from whose face the earth and the heavens were fled, for there was no more room for them. And the dead, small and great, stood before God. This is the wicked dead, the unsaved dead. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the book. God's the best bookkeeper you've ever seen. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Judgment is coming. But if you don't mind, I'll give you a little footnote. One more certain sound. You don't have to suffer the vengeance and wrath and judgment of God. For Jesus said, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation or judgment, but is passed from death unto life. Judge once said to a defendant, you can take your choice of lawyers. There's one on your left, there's one on your right, there's one out there in the hall. The defendant looked to his left and looked to his right, and he said, Your Honor, I think I'll take my chances on the one in the hall. Beloved, the great attorney of all the universe is out in the hall of man's activities today. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. You best rest your case with him and say to him, Lord Jesus, be my attorney. I cannot plead my own case. And he will plead your case to the Father. We've got a lot of so-called self-appointed saviors in the world, but the Savior is out there in the hall. Won't you take him today? Take him just like you are. Take him just like he is. I sound to you a certain note. Death is coming. Jesus is coming. Judgment is coming. Let us stand for our prayer. Our Father, we truly thank thee these moments for the power of the gospel of redeeming grace. We thank thee, Heavenly Father, that we have an attorney who is pleading our cause before thee. We pray that we might be awakened to the fact that these certain sounds need to be trumpeted. They need to be sounded today in the midst of a perverse and crooked generation. In the midst of a generation of chaos and confusion, help us to sound a certain sound that men might ready themselves for the inevitable, for death, for the coming of Christ, for the day of judgment. In Jesus' name we pray. Now, beloved, if you're out there this morning, while our heads are bowed and before our choir offers a stanza or two of invitation hymn, you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, you've never been saved, won't you let Him be your attorney? He's never lost a case. He has pled more cases before the bar of God's eternal justice than any other attorney. And He's never lost a single case. Why don't you let Him be your attorney today? You won't have to face death alone. You won't have to face the coming of Christ unprepared. And you won't have to face judgment unprepared. If you'll let Him be your attorney today. Here's a certain sound. Just as sure as you're where you are today, you've got to face death and judgment. What will it be? You're out there and you've never trusted the Savior, I want you to come and trust Him today. If you're out there and you are saved, you have trusted Christ, but your life today is not happy and jubilant and joyful and peaceful as it ought to be. Maybe you've been sounding some uncertain sounds on the trumpet of your life. Some discordant notes. Some questionable notes. Why don't you come and get that old trumpet tuned up this morning? God will help you to blow some certain sounds. Church member, why don't you do that today? Christian, why don't you come today and let this be a new day in your life?